Hello again. This is the old good morning man, Kermit Edney, with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. While today we will talk about the building of the new Presbyterian Church, our emphasis is going to be on two dedicated men, John Hurley and George Stowell, who volunteered to be full-time overseers of the entire construction job. Back in the early 1950s, the First Presbyterian Church stood on the opposite corner of its present block. The sanctuary was on the corner of King Street and 7th Avenue. In March of 1953, though the congregation insisted there were no future plans for the property, the church did purchase the two houses on the opposite corner over on Grove Street, known as the P.K. Braswell Place. The property was purchased from Mrs. J.R. Sandifer of Hendersonville and her sister, Mrs. J.P. Rogers of Florence, South Carolina. The two houses were appraised for $15,900. The church paid $15,000, good price. The house on the corner earlier had been occupied by Jane and Brownlow Merrill. Brownlow was railroad freight agent and a very active member of the Lions Club. I knew the house well because Jane and Brownlow rented rooms and apartments in the big rambling house, and my brother Grady and his first wife Catherine rented their first apartment in that house from the Merrills. And while the sum of $15,000 might not be considered massive in today's inflated dollars, please note that for 9 months that year, a change had occurred in the fiscal year for the church, for 9 months the church only budgeted $16,430 for all church expenses, including preacher Warren Thuston's salary. Only 4 years went by until a formal announcement and signing of contracts took place July 22, 1957, for a brand new church building to seat 650 people on the main floor of the sanctuary and another 100 in the balcony. Among those participating in the signing, other than the contractors, were L.K. Singley, L.B. Prince, T.D. Hunter, Jr., Fred Streetman, John Hurley, and George Stowell. Others not including the contractors, John Price, Fred Streetman, and E.E. Feiss. Now, I wanted to be sure and include John Hurley and George Stowell because they became an oversight committee of two to ride herd on the construction. The two, first of all, watched over the demolition of the two houses, which had been purchased 4 years earlier, and then the responsibility of supervising the relocation of several graves in the churchyard to Oakdale Cemetery. I checked with George Jones of the Historical and Genealogical Society to determine if there was any reference to the relocation of the graves on any of the markers in Oakdale, and George said to his knowledge, they were handled the same way as the remains relocated from the small churchyard at the Methodist Church when their new sanctuary was built. The remains were transferred with the existing stones moved, or new stones were erected, but they carried no reference to any previous burial site. John Hurley and George Stowell both had retired and moved to Hendersonville. Both of them lived in Oak Terrace on U.S. 64 West near the Blythe Street intersection. That small subdivision was unique in that with less than a dozen homes there in the 50s, in addition to John Hurley and George Stowell being residents, there were also Betty Ann and Aiken Pace. Pacey was a pharmacist and at one time ran Pace's drugstore on 7th. There was also Colonel Bob and Peggy Fox. He was the Packard dealer here for a while. Later was Lieutenant Governor of Kiwanis Club, and he was everybody's perfect Santa Claus. Also living in that small neighborhood was Helen and Monroe Redden, Jr. of the Redden, Redden, and Redden Law Firm, and at the end of the street was Esther and Bob Wilson, one-time owner of Economy Drug Store. So nobody could say that Oak Terrace was anything but an interesting and influential community. And John Hurley and George Stowell were perhaps the most devoted and dedicated overseers involved in volunteer work at that time. Each day, one or the both of them would be on the site of the construction of the new Presbyterian Church, and together they watched every brick laid, every nail driven in that handsome sanctuary. And the Presbyterians and the community could be thankful for men like George and John. There's also Jack Peck, who retired here from his Wall Street printing company. And Jack is personally credited with the success of the American Red Cross Bloodmobile program. There was Phil Kelly. Phil created the Opportunity House Second Wind Hall of Fame. There was Bert Boyd, who I'll tell you more about December 13th, because he always celebrated Friday the 13th as his birthday, even though there are always at least two in every year. And there were folks like Phil Green who single-handedly raised the money necessary to air condition the Hendersonville High School auditorium. Phil and Elsa's children, Pete Green, Gene Pierce, and Barbara Stricker, follow in their footsteps in community service. It is because of locally born and bred Tar Heels and because of marvelous people who by choice became a part of this community that a seventh child of a seventh child can say with no hesitation how lucky enough I was to be born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job I've loved all my life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.